Welcome to Security Guy Radio at As Is 2016 in lovely, wet Orlando. Can you hear that rain? It sounds terrible.
It's
unbelievable.
We need the rain.
What's your name?
I'm Kathleen Griggs.
What's the name of your company?
We're from I'm from Data Buoy Corporation.
Data Buoy, I like that name.
Data Buoy. Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you guys do.
Well, we manufacture an embedded sensor technology. So it's sensors that sense, they think, they communicate. And that's been the basis of our philosophy behind Data Buoy, is embedded systems, command and control, smart intelligent sensors. We offer a product called ChopPoint, which is an intelligent sensor network that listens for, it's an acoustic sensor network.
Yeah.
That listens for a particular gunshot signature.
Oh, I like that.
We detect and we localize on the source of the gunshot.
Now, when you say it's a network, are you meaning that you can put a lot of your devices in a lot of different places, and can they be shared by others? In other words, let's say we deployed it in here. There's a lot of users in here. There is, you know, as is convention center. There's as is. There's the convention center people. There's the facility people. Could anybody log in and have access to that, or is it really set up for one end user, so to speak?
Well, the network brings you a lot of things, and we sense, we think, and we communicate. And so the purpose of the network is not just the fact that we are tied in to the rest of the world in terms of our ability to communicate our data, but the network for the embedded systems world really means that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Okay.
And the reason for that is our nodes are individually intelligent. One of our nodes can actually identify and locate a shooter on its own, but we have intelligent sensors.
Yeah.
We have an intelligent sensor network, meaning the sensors are intelligent, and it's a sensor network that augments the intelligence. So we can sense, we can locate with an individual sensor, but we use multiple sensors to actually eliminate multipath, reduce the false alarm rate. And it's the entire system concept that provides much more information that you can get out of a single node. And one example is a gunshot trajectory. If you have a high-powered rifle with multiple views onto that signature, we can actually plot the trajectory of the bullet.
Wow.
We can't do that with a single node.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Well, I do a radio show, right? So I love audio. I'm on to all that kind of stuff. I've heard that, I've just heard this about the industry in particular, that the analytics are getting to a point where you can almost tell what caliber weapon it is. Hey, that's a .45 as opposed to a .22. Are we close to that?
Our system works on analytics. Obviously, the shockwave signature is a unique signature so that you know you're working with a particular type of weapon, which is distinctive from a pistol sound. But in addition, I mean, it's old-fashioned geometry. So the reason you use an embedded sensor is because you want something up close. You want something that's going to be actually there at the time measuring the signal. And proximity matters. And so if you're close to the shot, if you're there experiencing the shot from different perspectives, then that's where we get all of our information. So reason for covering an area is not just to be there where the event occurs, but it's also to be able to sense the geometry of what happened in the event.
Now, who are some of your clients? Not names, but I mean types of clients and markets this goes to.
So our clients obviously are concerned about mass shootings. It's areas, it's clients who have a responsibility to protect lots of members of the public. So schools are obviously very concerned about protecting the children, and it's an area where there's a large population and they have a responsibility to protect a large number of people. Areas like parks or malls, stadiums, anywhere where the potential for a catastrophic event, if there was an active shooter in that situation, is someone who's concerned enough to look to a system like ours.
So now I get the part where, let's say the school comes in, they hire you, they set it up, it's all put into the network. A gunshot goes off. Is this tied to mass alert systems as well? In other words, as the school, can I say, now when that gunshot goes off, I want to send a text out that says, in quadrant four by the football field, there's a possible gunshot. Stand by for more information. As opposed to a gunshot goes off, now I have to take the time to have somebody analyze it and decide when I'm going to notify people.
In current practice, in emergency response, the more severe the event, the more confusing the information.
Right.
So having a system like ours, which tells you exactly who, what, when, where, how, is one thing. But again, our ability to share it across the network with everyone at the same time, with a, let me back up. Our system actually provides a timestamp and a location, and also we cue video. So we have an image of the shooter, the time of that particular shot, and the location of that shooter at that time. And so that eliminates all the confusion in informing a response. And a lot of, in current practice, a lot of the problems happen when there's actually a situation where things become cyclical. When the responders are there and someone reports that they saw someone maybe in the back of the building, and that might have actually been a responder who was there five minutes before, but by the time the phone call got through the network, it actually literally compounds itself. It's much more of a problem than people realize. And so we're eliminating all of that.
Yeah, and then, you know, somebody puts something on Twitter, and all of a sudden that becomes a fact.
Exactly.
Versus just a speculation or something, right?
Exactly. And now, so this is actually, you know, good, hard, precise and accurate data that everyone has. So there's no more reason to be confused.
Now, are you finding your clients want to share that data with the people inside their building, with the people inside their campus? Or do they want to grab the information and they want to use it and respond with it? Because my model would be, if I was in charge, and I used to run Fox and Disney, big campuses, right? I'd put that on everybody's smartphone. If that went off, you get the same information I got, and then I'd say, stand by for more information. At least if I could save some seconds to get you out of this section over here that's in danger, it's helped. As opposed to having a little bit of a delay where I look at it, I analyze it, then I send out my first response to it. You see what I'm saying? Where do you find the clients come down on that?
You know, we have all of the above.
Okay.
We have clients that are interested in, we've worked with mass notification tools or applications that have staged responses. So I don't know if I want to name names, but you know, one company we actually send our shot reports to, that shot reports goes out to mobile responders who are in the area. So like a school principal and maybe a handful of people that they know are locally available,
right,
that can go and either respond or check out what's going on the scene. If those people don't respond, it goes to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And the pool of subscribers grows, or it might go directly to 911. So that is what we kind of call a workflow.
Yeah, workflow, yeah.
We are working with that commercial company, those app developers, and the first responders to really table what should be the proper workflow and how much time do you want to spend before it goes up to 911. And it's a public-private issue.
Right.
And that's, so we're not directly involved in forming the policy, but we're enabling that. But you also brought up another interesting point about, you know, having... things could happen in the building also. The building, in a sense, could respond.
Right.
So we are integrated with automated lockdown systems.
Oh, that's good.
So so our system actually can initiate a lockdown event.
Yeah, and time is critical. I mean, you can save 3 seconds, you can save a lot of lives.
Right, and in that case, those would be a pre-planned response that the building manager has already decided this is what we're going to do, and in case of an active shooter event.
Right.
And those things can start happening before the responders arrive.
Do you find that that the average consumer is becoming more and more aware of this sort of technology? Or is it still kind of up in the security boardroom and meetings about things?
That's another really great question. I would say just in the past year or year and a half, the environment has definitely changed. I think a year ago, someone being introduced to our system would say, that's interesting. They'd never heard
right.
of that before. And, oh, is that really necessary? And now the environment is changed to how much is it?
Oh,
who's
that's
using
good.
It? And
yeah, I think Orlando and San Bernardino just tipped the scale. people said, you know what, right. we can't afford to sit around anymore. We can't say it's not going to happen. These are two examples nobody thought could even conceive that would happen. And now we got to do something about it. You know, and I like this technology because this is, well, it's really verified information about an actual event. And, you know, analytics are good and projecting things are good and forecasting is good and all that kind of stuff's good. But, hey, a gunshot, it's pretty clear. No matter what happened, it's not good. Maybe it's not an active shooter, but it's just not a good thing. We got to respond to it. And so having information technology to detect it is really valuable. It's really, really valuable.
I mean, I want to say the analogy is your fire detection system. We don't live in fear that our building is going to burn down.
Right.
And yet we have fire detection systems because they work in an event of a fire.
Yeah, and we do fire drills,
right.
but we don't do active shooter drills. Which is weird.
Well, some company. Oh,
well, now they're starting to.
Do active shooter drills, yeah. and the issue is that if you have something that works in the event of an active shooter, then this is it's a reasonable thing. If you already plan for it, you already drill for it, then you already are expecting that this is a potential threat that you have to do something about.
Who can afford this? Large company, small company?
So. I'm just going to give an example of anyone who uses an IP camera network and has a camera network and maybe a DVR has spent more money than they would spend on a shot sensor for sure.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so this is really on the range of maybe a percentage of your it's a couple of cameras.
Yeah, are you finding
it's
that
it's really like adding a couple of cameras? So a school or a business that has 50 or more cameras would maybe get six sensors.
Wow, that's
sensors.
Fabulous. Are you finding that police departments are using it in high crime areas?
Well, we have some interest from some smaller police departments and interest in covering certain areas where there are high crime, but only several blocks. But we're not a wide area system. Our target market is the private sector.
Okay.
And the vast majority of cameras, I mean, obviously the vast majority of cameras are in the private sector.
Yeah.
And they're great for finding people who are stealing things. But in the event of an active shooter, a camera doesn't detect a gunshot. Our system is the thing that cues that camera network, and we can bring up that image within seconds.
Yeah.
And so what we can do is we can create instant valuable information from that camera network. Whereas, honestly, if I was in an event in a mall and I was in an active shooter event and I knew that there were cameras all around that could see what was going on, I had the expectation that the first responders should also be able to see that. And that's what we're providing, something that I think is reasonable to expect.
Every time I do an interview, and I'm probably going to do 50 this whole show, I finish with, do I feel better than when I started the interview or worse when I started the interview? Because some things make me worry and some things make me feel good. I feel good about this interview. I feel that this product is making us safer and it's going to stop a lot of things.
Well, thank you.
So thanks for coming on the show. This is fabulous. Give us your name one more time.
Kathleen Griggs.
And the name of the company and website?
DataBuoy Corporation. www.dbuoy.com.
Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.